Hey friends, welcome to another episode of the 10 Laws Podcast with East Forest. I'm East Forest. Thanks for joining us this week. I'm really excited to share this very special conversation I had with Muji. Muji is a very well-known spiritual teacher who is based in Portugal, more or less, I believe. And I came across his work both online and Radha, when she was in India, she got to see him in person. And so there was sort of an alignment there. And I had this opportunity to create a track for Formless. And Formless is a record label that was co-founded by Justin Beretta, who's been on the podcast, of the Glitch Mob. And they're putting together this album of talks by inspiring teachers, including Jack Kornfield and Tara Brach and Muji, Ram Dass, among others, and bringing really great musicians together, including Tycho and Caitlin Aurelia Smith, among others. And they asked me to create a track, and I immediately thought of Muji, and I wanted to reach out to him to see if he'd be willing to engage in conversation, and then I could try to put it to music. And that's often how I like to work. I like to have conversations myself, as opposed to diving into like an archives of people's work. And I was blessed enough that they said yes, and Muji said yes, and so we did this conversation online, and then recorded it on each of our ends, and they sent me the material, and it came to be the song that is now released, that is called The Light of Truth. So if you haven't heard that song, it might be great to hear that in advance. It's wherever you listen to music out there, and you'll hear, you know, little phrases here and there that were pulled from this conversation to make that song. It was a really beautiful, really special experience, and I'm just so excited that we're also able to share this entire conversation with you. So if you want to support Muji and the various things that he's involved with, there's a lot of service and seva there. So you can go to muji.org to learn more about ways that you can explore his world and what they're up to. On his site, on muji.org, it says here, Muji Baba has dedicated his life in service to all who desire to awaken into their natural self. So this conversation is really cool too, because as we got more into it, eventually he walked me through, I mean, what an honor and a pleasure. He walked me through this sort of meditation into awareness, this light of truth, right, that he's talking about. And you can do it too, in real time on this meditation and inside this podcast. So I think you're going to enjoy it. And man, it's a fun one. So please check out the song that is now released and share it if that feels right to you. And yeah, I'm very excited to be able to present this now. I just want to say that in November of 2022, for all of our friends in Europe, I will be out there doing a series of tour dates and ceremony concerts and concerts. You can check out information and tickets for that at eastforest.org. And we'll probably be adding some dates in the United States as well. And I will be at the Ram Dass Retreat, the Love Serve Remember Retreat with my partner Radha, at the end of August, coming right up here. If you'd like to come out and experience some kirtan with Krishna Dass, and I'll be doing a ceremony concert there. Radha will be doing yoga and movement. And it's just a great opportunity to be in the Sangha and to be in the community, much like we're talking about here with Muji. So you can check that all out at East Forest, or we also share information, Instagram, East Forest, and all the other social media platforms, East Forest Music. All right, let's dive into this with our dear friend, Muji. Well, it's wonderful to be able to get this time. It's an honor. And thank you again for taking the time. I really value and appreciate the way we can merge potentially words and music to create, like, essentially inspiration for people and tools that go beyond those things when they're separate. And sometimes when they come together, it's really special. And I'm looking forward to just exploring, you know, what comes up for you, and then exploring that in the creative process and seeing it where it takes us. So thank you. Yeah, if it's okay with you, I'd like to just give you a couple prompts or questions, really, things that are swimming in my heart, and I know many others, and just let you see what comes up for you from there. I think something that's right on the face of it for everyone right now is there's so much change. And what's a bit strange about it for me is that change is like the engine of the universe in our life. And in one way, it's the thing that we know is always true. Yet when it gets quite large or big or fast or how we perceive that, it's really hard. And a part of me feels like everyone who's here right now, in a sense, is a really, it's like a brave soul in that we're here in a really important and difficult time. But nonetheless, people struggle right now, and they're struggling with thinking like, and I struggle with how do we deal with, we look out into the future and we think maybe it will change even more and more and more. And what do I hold on to? We have to let go of so many things, sort of like there's a death happening. And yes. I want to leave it there for now.
This good one.
Yeah.
It's a good one. A big one.
Yeah.
But good one. Good one. You started anyway by saying that, you know, this change is a time of great change, and also that change is consistent with life. In a sense, we are attracted to change, and at the same time, we are often afraid of change, because we are quite complex in our human makeup. We anticipate and look forward to change if it's in alignment with our projections, roughly. We don't always want to know exactly what that change is going to be, but we like to feel we have a sense of a direction, and that whatever change come, that it somehow flows smoothly with our projections. But in fact, no one ever really knows anything until it's right up here in presence, you know? But I feel for a long time, we do our best to make sure that it's not that we cancel out as much as possible the extremes. And so within a certain space that we feel, yes, it can go this or that way, it's still, we are comfortable enough and feel comfortable that we, if it moves, if it fluctuates within our expected range, it's okay, we can take care of it. So we are open to change mostly, but we don't like shocking change. And it is good that the universe does not obey our projections, because change and radical change and situations and dynamic and I would say challenging experiences must come to us in order for us to transcend our comfort zone, which actually is not so comfortable, actually. And it's not like comfort is a growth hormone in the highest sense. So I feel, and like I'm sure many people do also, that although it's a very, very dynamic time and seemingly unpredictable at a life level, because we can't feel so comfortable and speak about or project about what the next year or the next 2 years are going to look like, because at an existential level, we feel totally insecure about that. Now, I don't feel that life has to obey or cooperate with our personal or collective projections, you know? I feel and see that in the most challenging times, that we are stimulated into necessary change. Some internal change happens also, that our ego or minds don't like that, because we like to feel we have more control. which we never really have. Actually, we have an inflated idea of what is to come, and now we're out of our depth. But I feel that this out of our depthness compels a deeper introspection, not necessarily a meditative, organized way, but each one is compelled to look. Even in our most intense moments, if we take an example of someone who is in a very deep medical situation where life-threatening and so on. And maybe if we could go back a short while earlier, then they may be very much as jovial as the next person can be, optimistic about life. But in a time of personal crisis, something happens that we are not aware of until it happens. The mind, the attention, the consciousness turns inwardly and enters into some region internally that is so profound and so inescapably present that has nothing necessarily to do with future or time or our attachments or our ideas about life. It's like a soul introduction happens. And we are not so comfortable to talk about this in society because many people who come to that level of introspective or inner contact may feel a bit strange to talk about this, like you're going bananas or something maybe like that. So I feel actually, you know, we should also remember to include many people for whom, say, this pandemic has been a tremendous rejuvenation, a renewal of many things, a sifting through much of what is unnecessary and a coming together of a more focus in another way, you know? So it's not like it's all bad. Sometimes what feels bad is that we seem to lose control or have no control. But there are other things in life, because life is never really against the human soul, you know? It's always offering, it's not vindictive. It's more corrective, offer opportunities to correct something and to introduce deeper levels of consciousness and awareness about who we are. So there is a very vibrant and optimistic aspect of all these difficulties that we really get a chance to hear about also.
And if what you're speaking to then, it feels like it's the gift of what is happening. And for people to step into that, there's a level of trust that needs to open for them. And I think a lot of people, like myself included, like I have a lot of, you know, there's sort of like these two aspects of my consciousness. There's, I'll just call it my heart and my mind. And like my heart has these knowings that feel really strong. And I'll call that the trust I have in the universe. And just an understanding that's difficult to articulate. But my mind will often like to protect myself and say, yeah, but what about this? Or maybe you're wrong. Or, okay, you're 99% there, but let's keep 1% just in case, you know. And people want to trust. I want to trust. I want to trust so fully that there is no doubt in my mind. Yet I also don't want to push away this part of myself that's a part of myself, you know, to honor the part that's saying, hey, I want to protect you. I'm here to look out for you and not to say, hey, ego, you're bad or you need to go away. It's like my whole self. So I want to ask you about trust and how do we lean into that? How do we essentially fall or die to be alive or engender that feeling in ourselves so we feel stronger stepping forward into all this change?
Sometimes we have to be rendered desperate. I say sometimes when we are curious, we learn. When we are desperate, we discover. We can have it our own way in accordance to whatever paradigm suits us. Sometimes life takes the rein. Not sometimes, always, in matter of fact. sometimes we're also compelled to trust, or at least to surrender. Surrender is a big part of coming into trust, when we feel that we are out of moves, and the sense of predictability is smashed. We are just made empty. This is a powerful time for human beings. We fear that, to come to a place where you're out of moves for a moment, or feel out of moves. And of course, the mind panics, our conditioned identity and so on panics, because it's like, oh, what do I do? What do I do? And if it continues, we do come to a stage where what we fear will happen doesn't quite happen. Something unexpected can happen, like a widening, a deepening happens internally, where you come to see that the mind often exaggerates, what we fear is going to happen. At times when we think everything wonderful is going to happen, sometimes something feels like we are pushed up against a wall. But I feel every experience that comes to the human consciousness is beneficial if we have the right attitude, and we grow into the right attitude, not necessarily willingly. Sometimes it just comes by the nature of the situation and circumstances we have to face. So about trusting, I feel it's quite healthy when for a moment we run out of comfortable trust and we find deeper levels of being that we would not ordinarily discover if things went our way or the way of our mind every time, you know.
I mean, it feels like what you're saying is that on the face of it, like the point of being in incarnation, of being here, is to face challenges and struggle. It's not to avoid them. And
yeah,
that being the case, you know, you mentioned about like these openings that come to us. You know, what are things we could do, or maybe we can even right now, like get into a feeling of what it means to receive that, or what is that feeling of opening fully receiving the gift of what maybe feels like not a gift?
It takes time, because by our conditioning, the reflex is to doubt and to tighten up.
Yeah.
And we must experience this also, because I feel that what we experience as challenging or difficult or traumatic are not always something against us at a deeper level. It may be against the idea we have of ourselves. But we come to see that often it is struggles and challenging moments that become like growth hormones for us at a deeper sense. At a shallower sense, we don't like to be challenged too deeply, because, that side, I would call more the ego side of ourself, like to have things under control, in alignment with our expectations or our projections. But often life has to intervene. It has to take hold somehow, and sometimes the boat is shaken, and you are stirred into a new level of discovering or creativity that perhaps you would not have found unless you are shaken, you see? And there is no human life, whether you're a king or an emperor or a dustman, who is exempt from, intense experiencing, you see?
But how, I would imagine you're looking for a kind of witnessing to that, or a kind of loving of that experience, as opposed to be completely immersed in it or attached to it, because that's where
the love comes later. The love and the appreciation can come later. At first, sometimes we are caught up so much in the traffic of our emotions and resistance and fears and the sense of desperateness. And sometimes these have to come up to the surface. And what I call challenging situations provoke that deeper cathartic reactions to what we feel we can't cope. But we are much stronger than we think. And when these things come up, sometimes we are shaken, and it can... each one experienced that in their own way, depending upon the depth of their maturity, at you know, living from the inside out rather from the outside in, you see? So the more we are compelled, I feel many, many more people now are looking for help to for greater understanding about life, are attending more meditation classes, are coming to retreats. They are provoked and stirred into that for that search, because the outer world seems very unpredictable, and the inner world, in terms of the levels of our attachments and dreams and aspirations, that also seems not reliable at some point. And there's levels deeper within us. We are so enormous in our capacity. And I feel very often we can live just on the surface of the potential of our existence. So for this reason, I'm saying that when we are shaken up, stirred up, I have also people who come here for a retreat or a visit for some days. And they come expecting, like, I've come for peace, come for peace. Uh-huh. Even today, when man who is here now, he's been here before, you know, he said, I'm all over the place right now. I actually came for peace, and I found, like, I'm so stirred up. I've not been so stirred up for a long time, you see? So this is a good example. This happened just maybe 1 hour ago, in fact. And he's saying, I'm so stirred up, everything. And so we had to talk about that a little bit and to say, actually, don't take that as a, you know, some ultimate reading. What happens is that these things didn't come from here. But being here in this type of climate, in this type of intense atmosphere inwardly, because it's a very silent place, then all the noise inside is coming up to the surface, you see. And something doesn't like that. It says, no, I'm falling to bits and so on. Sometimes you have to fall into bits first. Sometimes I say to people, sometimes you go to hell before you go to heaven in yourself. And so this was a good example for me that, yes, don't take that reading as an ultimate reading. Of course, when we are used to a certain standard, a certain way that fits in line with whatever our personal paradigms are, and we're shaken out of control with that, the natural reaction and response, the reflex, is to be thrown into, like, whoa, you're into a storm. But that is not a bad thing. It's just sometimes the beginning of a deepening within oneself, a much more a chance of maturing more into the depths of your possibilities in life, you see. So I don't, when I see this, I do empathize, because we are surrounded sometimes by people also who have lost friends or families and themselves come this near to exhaling their last breath. And I've found that, they're much more able to converse in a meaningful way, not just in superficial, hello, how are you doing, what's a nice day, and so on, but much more concern has entered into their being. And not bad. I said, for now, it feels like this, but it's also providing some real opportunities to get more out of your life, out of yourself, you see?
Mm. It's kind of like the metamorphosis, when in the chrysalis, the caterpillar is just a goo. It looks like it's completely dissolved, and how could it become something else from there? But you said something there I want to ask you about kind of the noise that's in our lives, and when that is more cleared away, and we're able to hear more clearly. It feels like there's so much noise in just normal everyday life. I mean, quite literally, all the information and emails and content that is coming at us is unparalleled in human history. And then on top of that,
it's already a good sign that we see that, you recognize that, rather than just to be cocooned in that space and not question it. You're beginning to recognize, you know, we are surrounded with so much noise, external and internal noise, in our environment, in not every part of the world, but in many places and inside people. And it leads to a natural urge to step out of that, to come into a more peaceful, because peace is natural for us, actually. People have to be reminded that happiness is your natural state. That's why when we are unhappy, when we are provoked into intense, something yearns to be back into our happy, but not happy about our possessions or about things so external or so material, but just happy within one's being. Peaceful and content is, for me, real wealth, you know? Mm.
I like to sit and feel the idea that this is a natural rebalancing into happiness, into bliss.
It's an offering. It's you know, when you, we sometimes don't realize, you know, what state we have been living in until you've come out of that state or you're moving out of this state, then you can have a sense of where you're coming from. When we are so used to something, we're so used to a certain way, we're not able to evaluate that way, actually. It's only as you are evolving from one state to another state, maybe an higher state, that you can really look back and say, wow, that was really full of noise. I was so tense and so, you know, I was really so full of ideas, but I was not happy. Only when you are becoming and recovering your happiness. So these contrasts, they help us to evaluate, to assess what is the richness. Some things are could be a richness, an enriching experience is not necessarily in the beginning accepted as such. It can feel like, man, that was a big crash. But what it led to was you know, a rebirth in something. You see, the things are not so final because they feel terrible in the moment. You know, they do offer a maturing inside. It's not punishment. It's sometimes I say that it's as though life releases a bit of our karmic account, and in the experiencing of that, we have a chance to really evaluate and to evolve.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Absolutely. But I would imagine too, for people, you know, it feels like a lot of what we live in is these paradoxes or the mystery. And like, it's so strange that we're human beings that are, they're quite literally animals, and you press us in certain ways and we have these responses that are predictable and feels like uncontrollable. And we kind of hope not to be pressed that way. And yet at the same time, we have the ability for cosmic consciousness and brotherly love and these creativity, humor, all these amazing aspects of the whole nature of being. And that in itself is like a total trip and challenging to hold on to for people to say, like, how is it possible that we can be awakening into a new state of being and yet we can be so terrible at the same time, so tribal, so...
yeah.
All the our humanity,
yes,
holding it all in ourselves and knowing that.
Many times we think more highly of ourselves than our capacity reveal. You know, we can be creative, and also even in philosophical terms, also spiritual terms, have very great ideas because the capacity intellectually is so vast also.
Yeah.
But that has to, what we learn must be swallowed and digested and assimilated and finally combust into spirit before it is truth, you know? Sometimes we have many ideas that we share. We share it so freely and it sounds, we write books about it and have seminars and so on. But then a little thing hits you and the structure collapses. So what we learn must be internalized. It must really be understood deep within ourselves. And life provides the raw material for the experience to deepen. We cannot evolve just in a bubble intellectually also. And even within this space, we can be very creative. Many beautiful things are created by human beings in the world. So much is wonderful. But we must also be strong enough to bear strong moments. And when they come and they wobble and everything, we think, whoa, your creativity is not so helpful then. You know, your wonderful wonderful ideas about life and philosophies crumble, you see. We have to be strong through. So we have the capacity because, of course, our minds want the adventure of life and to grow and in wonderful ways. But simultaneously, there are beings in the world that will never have that chance, and not even that they even need it even. We have a different way. Sometimes I believe that we compare the best in ourselves with the worst in others, as we perceive like that. And this is why I say, I have a way of saying that there is a wealth in poverty, and there's a poverty in wealth. And I'm not just meaning only material poverty. I mean like the wealth of understanding and knowledge and so on. Sometimes a deficiency can be in the life experience. Oftentimes people go and they do a study in university, they do a study somewhere. And then in England, where I spend so much of my time, then you have to come for work experience. And often people are much more qualified through their university programs, but when they come on the ground, they are not so, comfortable with the practicals. So life is also very practical and simple also. And through even simple ways, we become wise and contribute in a very simple way also, you see. So what you say, it is true that we have the capacity to create beautiful things, because our minds want to create. We want to create and create even safety for ourselves and create beauty and so on. But then we're not prepared for calamity or for moments of uncertainty. But these are the moments also that really we have to dig deeper down and come to a wider space of being, rather than to be top-heavy with the knowledge of the world, but not the experience of life from the inmost within us. Because the capacity of a human being is not only to be creative, but to discover the truth of who we are, of what we are. And that truth is greater than all you can see.
So the calling of our time then is introspection?
Could you say again?
Like the calling of this time is introspection.
It has always been like that. In every age, there's a call for introspection. At some time, as dictated or determined by the higher power, and that power might, the light might turn up, the power might turn up. And in such a way in our time, maybe unprecedented, I don't know, if there has been a time in human history when the entire planet of human beings are confronted with a similar, predicament or challenge. But I feel, I always will look, because we know many people amongst our friends, also people have passed away and so on. It's a tough, strong time emotionally and in terms of the challenges against our projections and hopes and aspirations for future. We are uncertain, and that itself creates a lot of pain within us. But at the same time, I have to say that it's a chance for us to evolve also, and to create out of this perhaps a better, a more together world. You know, it is a possibility, because when we're all, not all, because we're never all anything. When we are in a high state, exuberant with our wealth and with things like this. We cannot empathize with someone who is so different in their life. No? But now we share a similar experience. So every human being can understand where things are appearing. Some people don't have such a strong identity with form. You know, this is important to remember. That maybe their lives are so running only on the essential. And even that sometimes they don't have. So they're used to it. So their outlook on life is not for comfort and luxury. They're just trying to get to the next meal or something. Another one, if they miss out on one of the meal times, it's huge suffering for them. So it's not that we experience the same thing in the same way. You see, for sometimes people who have been living in very mediocre way, in environments like this, they also thrive because they know how to. They have gotten by before. So everything, we cannot work it out completely. All I can say is I would like to encourage human being, our family, to not to panic only, but also to see that in this a greater opportunity. And that is more important than all the wealth and all the food and comfort that we can acquire, is the opportunity for self-discovery. I put that above all things.
Is there maybe an embodied experience or short meditation we could do together that would sort of lead us into that space of listening, just as you're saying, like this opportunity that is in front of us universally?
Yes.
I'd love to have an invitation for that at some point.
Why don't we do?
It'd be beautiful.
Because I feel this is accessible to everyone. I feel this is accessible to everyone. What I try in some simple guided meditation, just for a few moments, I say to those who come, you know, what is it that you wish to discover? Everyone wants to be happy, at peace, content, stable, and confident in their existence. So, what I say is, okay, if someone were to ask me, please, Muji, could you help me to discover what you speak about? Because I've read your book or something, and I want now the experience. Ah, okay. I would say just now, I would say, if just for this short time, while we have the opportunity to be together, for a few minutes, you will follow my guidance. I will try to lead you into the discovery within your own being. If I ask you to just for the moment to leave aside all the ideas you have in your head. You don't have to name them, but just you have this power to do it also. Just to leave everything aside for a moment. Even, you know, what you would like to see happen in the world, who you think you are, and the importance of your life, where you want to go, who you want to be, all these things. Just for now. Just for this short duration, just leave everything aside for a moment. And I'm going to do something. I'm going to say to you, at the end of this simple exercise, you can have all your stuff back. You can just pick it up. So we're not saying to destroy anything. So just for a side, leave aside every idea you have about who you are and where you've come from. Just leave it aside for the moment. And what kind of world you'd like to see. All these things. So it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thought. But for now, just leave it aside for a moment. Just leave this aside. And all that you have done, your history, your lineage, whatever, your memories about things, just for a moment, just leave this aside also. This much. And I would say, please, really do for a moment. And I'll keep my word, whatever, when we finish this little exercise, you can take everything that you've left aside for the moment and carry on. But for now, because you've asked, I want to discover the truth of myself. I don't want to tell you in words what you are. I want to introduce you to that. So these things you have left aside, your ideas about the future, what you have experienced in the past, who you think you are, and what you want from your life. You want to be even enlightenment, all these things leave aside. All your attachments, your relationships, for a moment, just leave them aside for a moment. Try to be totally empty, so you're not a container of memories and intentions and desires and attachments. Leave everything. And you know, you try it and see it's very simple to do. Just empty, 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 empty. Imagine if everything that you have ever thought or wished to do or to be could just be taken out for a moment, just like you're taking things out and left aside for the moment. So you're totally empty of intention, empty of identity like this, empty of imagination. Do it like that. In fact, you're not doing anything. You're simply allowing to leave the usual mind behavior and all of this aside. You're totally empty now. If you've done this, if you've come to this place, you will see if everything that you could think or imagine or feel or remember was left aside, willingly by your own intention, didn't it? There will remain whatever that will be that cannot be taken. You can see now, it cannot be taken, cannot be moved. Everything else that have a shape and a time, a definition, an idea, a feeling can be left aside. And now, empty, 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 empty. And you will see now why I ask that you allow yourself to come to this place of emptiness. So even if there's a sound outside, it doesn't matter. You're simply not to engage with that for the moment. And just pay attention, just be aware of what is. What is. Not something that you have, but just what is here. Just what is. And I just want to ask just a few simple questions that you can respond yes or no. You see, like that. But it was very important to get you to a place where you're totally empty. And I just want to ask you, that which is here, which I will not give a name, sometimes I just call it what is, whatever it is, it is. What is here right now, does it have any shape or size at all? Is it an object? Is it an object? East, you ask, so I'm asking. What is here in this? Does it have a name?
I feel a sphere, oval sphere of space.
You see a sphere that's left, but that is a shape. And that is a sensation, which I've asked, don't get into any sensation that you can perceive as an object, because it comes and goes. Whatever can appear will disappear. But what is really here, by itself, not imagined, I can ask you, what is here now? Are you imagining something, or is it just a sense of what is?
What is? Everything as nothing as...
Yes. Okay. Very good. Very good. I may ask you also, is there any boundary beyond which it is not?
No.
No. Very good. Very good. I may ask also, you say there's no shape, no size, no boundaries. That which is, and I trust your responses, that which is, can it be depressed or sick by itself? Trust your looking.
No, only covered, only unseen.
Yes. So if it is covered... If it is covered, it must be covered by something that is bigger than itself. Or is it, you can say, look and see what can cover the isness. Let's call it the isness. Can anything really cover? Just from now. Only now, speak.
Only covers my eyes like a blindfold. It's not covering the world that I see.
Yes. Can you see even a world right now? Just as the isness, that which is, does it have any shape at all?
It's beyond.
Beyond, okay. Beyond. May I ask you, would it be possible, even with the most sophisticated technology, to take an image of it at all?
I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't think so.
Okay. We are good. Just stay like you are. Just stay like you are. May I ask you if it, the this is whatever, can it fade?
No.
No, it cannot fade. May I ask you, are you imagining this or perceiving this?
Both.
Okay. If you imagine, what are you imagining?
All that is.
Does it have any shape?
Yeah, the imagination puts images to it at times, or feelings, or colors, or energies, but I suppose...
Okay. But right now, you're looking only right now. Any images are only appearing in it and dissolving in it, but can it dissolve?
No.
No, it cannot dissolve. That's beautiful. May I ask you, was it born?
Not that I know, no. It is.
It is. And on the other side of this question, can it end? Just stay in your looking. Don't imagine anything. You're in the immediacy of your seeing. I asked before, is there a boundary beyond which is not? You say no. I'm asking you now, was it born or created? You say no. As can it end or die? And you...
No.
Can I ask you if it judges anything at all, anyone, or, you know, can it be angry in itself? Look.
No,
cannot be. Does it express its opinions about anything?
Only cause and effect, no opinion. No.
Cause and effects are effects appearing in the mind, which is okay, they can appear, but are they this?
I don't think so.
Just stay in the space of your seeing. What you're aware of, is it being produced by the senses in any way?
No.
No. Okay. And is the mind outside of it or appear inside of it? Can mind exist outside? Can there be an outside of this?
No.
Why?
It's all the same.
It's
all the same.
It's all the same. Okay. And may I ask you, can it be owned or possessed by one group of people and used against another group of people?
No, impossible.
Not impossible, impossible. And if I can ask you one thing, that which you are aware of now, how near are you to that? I mean, do you have to walk to it, or is it too far, or is it near, or is it nothing like that? No distance.
Inside it, no distance.
Yes. And may I ask you, who are you in it at the moment? Are you in it as an object in vastness, or it's a bit different from this? How is it for you?
We are it.
We are it. Thank you. That's all I wanted to ask you. So from from the questions and the responses you've made that it is not an object, it is has no size, there's no limits or boundary beyond which it is not. It cannot fade. It was not born. It cannot die. It cannot be depressed. Can it become sick in any way? It itself?
No.
No, 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 no. And also, it cannot be used or owned by anyone and used against anything. It is beyond this altogether. And then I ask you, how far is it separate from you? And you say, no. So if these are your responses, I would say that what you are aware of is yourself. That's what is the self. That is pure being. Pure being. And may I ask you also, you feel that you were in a state of hypnosis or anything in these questions?
A state of calm, absolutely.
Yes.
A state of openness.
Yes.
A state of putting all the things aside is what feels like.
Yes.
It opens the doorway. And
yes,
that's so pleasurable.
Yes. Yes.
It's so pleasurable. And
yes,
there's a running, a race, a nonstop task, the tasks, the concerns, the plans. It's such a contradiction that it feels so good to drop it, yet there's so
yes,
much resistance to do so.
Yes. Both the running and the resistance to do so are also just shapes appearing and disappearing in that. Is this itself altered or affected by the running mind?
Not at all.
Okay, I ask you now, can you throw it away, this?
No.
Is there a door to get in there and out? Is there anything like this?
The closest door would be your heart or nothing, you know, the
yes,
nothingness. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And is it fading? Can it fade?
No.
So this, I'm saying, this is yourself and the self of all human beings, all living beings. Just to be aware and now thoughts and feelings and memory and time and people and everything are appearing in this and moving in this and disappearing in this. But can this disappear? Is it imagined?
I asked you about trust and
yes,
knowing. This knowing is the trust, in a sense. It becomes, in a sense, trust not being a choice. It's an acceptance. It's an experience.
Yes. All experiences come and go. They have a beginning, middle, and end duration. Is this an experience that comes and goes? Or seemingly eclipsed by the attention going to something or like that, appears to be eclipsed. Can it even be eclipsed, even?
No, we just sort of accept and forget. You know, people say remember, right?
Yes.
That's a word that's thrown around a lot. Like we remember, or what does it mean to remember?
Yes. While we have a strong sense of personal existence, we will have the feeling of remembering and forgetting this. But to this itself, which I say is the essence of our being, it is beyond remembering and forgetting within itself. And what is aimed at in the, I would say, really authentic self-discovery is to keep paying attention to this, bring your attention to this. Because what happens is that the flow of the dance of personhood appears to eclipse this knowing in you, which is more than a knowing, it's a knowing being. It's a oneness in that. And so when we sit like we have just done, and you also, I believe you're recording this, you can listen again, and you can see that actually this is what is called awareness, no? Pure awareness. And if I should say to you, can it be lost? You have already said, no, it cannot be lost. Or I may say to you, try to be not aware. And you see that, well, it's impossible. It's impossible to not be aware. But at the same time, the force of tendencies and habits in the mind can create a masking, it as it were, just like sometimes I say that a fingernail can cover the sun, but the sun experiences no covering up. And that in just a simple exercise of sitting with this and clarifying and checking in, we call this the invitation to freedom. And many people are invited to sit for 10 minutes, 5-10 minutes, and just to listen and follow, not just believe, but to actually follow. And what do you find? And to stay with this discovering, and as simple as that, somehow in just putting the attention here in the heart of your own awareness, like this, magical, mysteriously, things begin to orient themselves within your being. They come to some kind of harmony, and naturally you discover that, actually. Rather than trying to push things about and try to make things go this way or that way, you're being in harmony in your own being, your life somehow exudes this harmony. Your intuitive functions relaxes and flow. You become much more peaceful, less afraid, more present and wise, actually, without having to study books and to do all these other things for a moment. That sense of centering is, I put it, one of the most valuable exercises. I don't even really want to call it so much a meditation. I call it a meditation. It's simply a guidance, a mirror. I sometimes call it the mirror of God. It's a mirroring of what really is here beyond the field of things that come and go, and even of the mind and personality. All these are like flickering lights in it, but it is not affected by that. Now, someone may say, but what's the point? I don't want to be not affected by life. I said, actually, you really do. Not that you are giving up, but that in the midst of the storm, that can be a storm, you find there is a silence and a stillness within you, which makes you much more able to flow and to function, even in the most trying of times. You don't get thrown out of yourself. So that is simply an exercise that I would offer to those who are so much loving your work and so on, to say, if you feel inclined, try this little exercise, a little pilgrimage within your own self.
Thank you so much for that. It's really perfect. And I think it also comes full circle from some of the ways we were talking about this at the beginning, how to receive the gift And I love this idea of a mirror. Oftentimes I feel that by reflecting to someone else what I want to embody, what I want to feel and sense, it creates it. And it becomes reflected back to me and I feel it myself and it comes into being. Even if I don't maybe feel in that moment worthy in my mind or capable, I simply embody it for someone else as a gift, be their reflection. And suddenly it is. And maybe that's the real opportunity of this time is, you know, reflecting
I feel,
what is.
Yes, I feel, and I would recommend just to come back into this space when you have time and the willingness to sit and not prescribe what you will do with it, just to be present with it and observe your activities that flow from this also. If they flow with a greater harmony, a greater aliveness, they are flowing in a quality of inner presence that you cannot really explain. And I wouldn't be quick to explain that, but to be with that and to really be aware, to stay aware and see that actually actions, reactions, interactions are happening more than are made to happen. And that's the quality of a more still mind is to be able to observe and to experience this as the very heart of being. You see? It's not so much about what you do. That also has, and that is not in conflict with this. In fact, the more you're stable in your own awareness, the more your genuine activities flow with greater, it's like they're wind-assisted, and flow with greater harmony and naturalness, spontaneity, and, in this way.
Harmony is something that definitely makes sense for me when I think about music. So thank you, Muji. This is really wonderful. Really appreciate this. And also one of my desires of talking to you, I know you have a lot of recorded material. That's fantastic. But there's something special about allowing this moment right now to speak to this moment right now in a creation itself, as opposed to me up here deciding, oh, this, and then I'll take this, and then this. And so I just want to know if there's anything else that you feel needs to be spoken to.
Well, you are very intuitive about this. I say I'm very happy to hear you say that and to that appreciate. Doesn't matter how many times I may share a story or whatever. It's the freshness, the immediacy of in that moment that really is at the heart of things, you know. And I feel you have asked for and allowed me to give you a simple guidance, which I feel is very, 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 very valuable for those who are searching for peace and even a sense of what life can be at a deeper level of awareness. And that anyone can find this, and especially at a time when people are restricted in their movement around the world, to use a time in this way is the most fruitful because it anchors you in your own being. A lot of people are afraid because they're up here. It's up in the head and it's shimmering. But to be grounded again inside your own, in the heart of your own awareness, is beyond being just valuable. You know, it's a reset. And it's really, really needed because from here, whatever is to come will be met in this space of yourself. As I said earlier, true life is lived from inside out, you can say, more than just outside in. That how you are within your own being determine how life is experienced in you and by those around you. And the more stillness you come to in recognition, it's not that you are being still as an action, but that you come to recognize the inherent stillness that is synonymous with your natural being, and to flow from that. Because in that stillness, and it's important for me to say that, it's not about someone being still. You can have a very dynamic expression, but it's flowing in stillness if you come to recognize it. And it's a beautiful synchronicity, in fact. But you are rooted in your own self-awareness, rooted in that inner stillness. So I don't want to, it's not the words stillness, the words self, but the actual, the essence that the words try to convey. And I say often, what we are cannot really be explained. It can only be, even to say it's experienced, not as something other than yourself, you see? So sometimes I ask the people also, if you can, sometimes, if even quicker than what I've shared with you, but sometimes it takes a little bit more willingness and openness to say, if you in the moment leave everything aside without itemizing them, what if you don't touch any thought about what has passed, just leave all what's passed, and the concept of next, if you don't touch next or past, and in the present moment, don't hold to any shape, then discover what really is here. Because that, whatever you discover, is universal, it's not just personal. And when a human being can discover, when the person can discover the impersonal and the universal within yourself, you have done well with your existence to discover that.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you, East. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Very fun. It's an honor and lovely, lovely to meet you and cross paths.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I've been listening to your music. And I saw some of the things you've done. And we have some good musicians here also. And they tell me, oh, yeah, you know, it's really good to listen to this this music here. And so I've been taking a little look.
It's fun, though.
Yeah. I like what you set out to do, to bring a depth of realization and to speak to beings who have a deep understanding and experience of that which really is the highest in the human domain, and to somehow enhance that in your way with the music to make it accessible to a wider range of listeners, you know?
Music does that for me. Yeah, and music is so amazing. We could talk forever about what music is and how it opens these doorways for us. And so beautiful. It's just this amazing thing we take for granted most of the time, but it's so powerful.
Whatever it is, the thing that is you most love, the truth can speak through that. And for this reason, I felt to pick up your invitation and to talk with you today. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you again, Muji, so much for engaging in conversation and for everyone on his team for helping make this happen, and as well for saying yes to allow us to include this in this music that is being released by Formless. You can check all that out wherever you listen to music. It's under East Forest, and it's featuring Muji. The song is called Light of Truth. I also want to thank everyone on our Patreon who supports this podcast through that modality. It is a great way to support this podcast. Patreon.com/East Forest.
We get to share things like extras from conversations and demos, and we do a monthly Zoom council where we get together and witness one another, and I often do a guided musical meditation. This song you're hearing in the background is the song The Light of Truth, but if you'd like to hear it in full, again, you can hear that wherever you listen to music. There is also a lyric visualizer video that will be on YouTube. You can see that at youtube.com/eastforestmusic. All right, my friends, I will see you next week. I hope you have a blessed week and keep walking that walk.
And I feel very often we can live just on the surface of the potential of our existence. What if you don't touch any thought about what is past? Just leave all this past. And the concept of next, if you don't touch next, discover what really is here. What really is here. You come to recognize the inherent stillness that is synonymous with your natural being. In just putting the attention here in the heart of your own awareness, magically, mysteriously, is your natural state.